It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon on October 8th. We're going to call the regular schedule assembly meeting to order. Roll call, Tina.
Denise?
Here.
Brenda? Brenda? Josie?
Oops, yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, Brenda. Josie?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Warren? Warren? Paul?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes. Sorry.
All right. Samantha?
Yes.
Tom? Thank you.
Okay, on the staff side, King Cole, who do we have?
Just me, Roxanne.
Okay, thanks, Roxanne. Standpoint, it's Tina and myself. And Anchorage?
Anchorage, it's myself, Laura, also Ernie Weiss, and Glenora, and I think that covers it.
And this is Annie. I'm online.
Mary's on.
Charlotte's here.
Emil's here.
Oh, hi, Emil. Okay, we are ready to go. All right, so... we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Okay, thank you. Second?
I'll second it. This is
Carol, I think. Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda. There's no corrections or additions, and no objections. We'll let the agenda stand as written. At this time, does anyone feel like they have a conflict of interest on any of the agenda items? Hearing none. our next item on the agenda is... before we do that, Laura, do you have any public comments on agenda items at this time?
I do not have any public comments on agenda items. Thank you. I do have a comment that I can read later during public comments on Resolution 17. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that would be fine. Just do it when we get to that agenda item would be... appropriate. So
yeah,
with
Warren
that,
just got on here.
Oh, good, Warren. Glad to hear you.
Yay. Okay.
So
we're all set.
We're ready to move into as the assembly does not have a planning commission as such, the assembly stands as the planning commission. So with that. We need a motion to go into the planning session to address Resolution 21-01.
I make a motion, Chris.
Second, Warren.
Thank you, Chris. Second by Warren. Thank you. So I am going to turn this over to Tina to go through for the assembly.
Okay. So this is AB permit application OSD 20. 20-01.
Peter Pan Onshore Seafood Processing Facility in Port Mueller. So the Aleutian Sea Squirrel received the land use permit application from Peter Pan Seafoods to renew their five-year land use permit with the squirrel permit application process. It's a five-year land use permit the permit application requests approval for continued onshore seafood processing at Peter Pan Port Mueller facility. Port Mueller facility operates seasonally from May to September, processing and freezing salmon. And the Peter Pan's permit renewal was submitted to comply with the borough's land use permit requirement for the onshore facility. And Peter Pan has been in operation for over 100 years. And Peter Pan's application includes a majority of the required elements. In reviewing the application, we did submit a request for additional information, and Peter Pan submitted the additional information completing their application. The permit application is being processed in accordance with the Borough Code Chapter 40 and must be reviewed both by the Planning Commission and the Assembly and approved by the Assembly. And since we don't have an active Planning Commission, the Assembly is acting as Planning Commission at this time. The permit was subject to a 30-day public review period, and we did not receive any comments supporting or opposing the application. And staff has reviewed the application and has submitted this recommendation. Resolution 2101 for approval, consideration for approval. Fort Mueller is located on the north side of the peninsula, 90 miles northeast of Cold Bay. There are no communities in the immediate vicinity of the facility. The closest community is Nelson Lagoon, about 25 miles west of Fort Mueller. And the majority of Peter Pan's onshore plant and equipment is located on their property owned by Peter Pan. Peter Pan uses roads, airstrip, water source area of AB lands. The Port Mueller airstrip and roads are also used by fish and game, hunting and fishing guides, and local air taxi services. The AB recommends Peter Pan's use of the airstrip and roadway be limited to transportation use only. No storage of fuel, chemicals, et cetera, on the airstrip or along the roadway area. The recommendation would be reclamation of requirements to be added to the permit approval. So for Peter Pan's property, Peter Pan must develop a reclamation closure plan for its property that includes removal of all hazardous waste, fuel, chemicals, field material, contaminated soil, debris prior to closure, including a plan to retain the facility's equipment for beneficial reuse, later use, or a plan to remove the facilities. Required to hire a solid waste engineer to develop a landfill closure plan that meets State of Alaska landfill closure design requirements and best management practices at the time of the plan closure. They'd be required to submit the plan to the AB at least 6 months prior to plant closure for review and approval, fund and complete the reclamation, and ensure their reclamation is completed within 365 days of the plant closure. And on operations conducted by Peter Pan on AAB property, the same similar reclamation plan will be required. Peter Pan operates under a lot of state and federal permit requirements, and some of these permits will expire during the five-year AAB permit term. So AAB staff recommend Peter Pan's application be approved subject to continued compliance with the state and federal permit requirements and a requirement for Peter Pan to provide AB with a copy of all of the approved permit application certificates, et cetera. And Peter Pan's facility currently operates under DEC seafood processing facility permit to operate, DEC permit number 56-M1251. I don't know if you want to know all this information. Anyway, and Peter Pan is currently operates under the seafood processing general permit for Alaska as well, and which requires compliance with EPA and MPDS for seafood processing in Alaska. And the agenda statement has more information under these permits, but you can go to the agenda statement and read more information on those if you wish, or unless you want me to cover all of it. I'm going to keep moving. So Peter Pan's facility currently operates under an EPA spill prevention control and countermeasure plan for onshore portion and the U.S. Coast Guard facility response plan for the offshore portion. And on the agenda statement, there's more information on that as well. Peter Pan facility currently operates under DC solid waste permit for the operations of the landfill for the camp. With fewer than, and the permit is landfill permit for remote camps and lodges with fewer than 50 residents. Peter Pan has more than 50, of course, during the processing time, but the annual average residency is less than 50, so they operate under that permit. Peter Pan's risk management plan and emergency plan addresses potential hazards at the facility, and due to the remote location, Peter Pan has established a fire brigade of at least 10 members that are trained and educated on those duties at the Washington State Fire Training Academy. A release of ammonia from the refrigerant system is a possible risk, and a worst-case scenario would be 12,000 pounds release and an estimated distance in toxic endpoint 1.5 miles. There are no local communities in the radius of a worst-case scenario, and there is an alarm system and an evacuation plan for employees in place. Peter Pan's facility currently operates under ADC Air Quality and Control Permit Emission Limit. And the borough code requires the staff to evaluate whether an applicant is using the best available air pollution control technology, alternative energy use, or ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel to reduce air pollution. Peter Pan uses ultra-low sulfur diesel, say that 10 times, since 2010 to reduce the amount of air pollution. And the AB staff recommends AB standards stipulate for air quality control be satisfied as long as Peter Pan remains in compliance with the DC air quality control permits for the facility and evaluates use of best available air pollution control technology. And AB staff recommends Peter Pan permit of onshore seafood processing permit be approved with the following additional stipulation. Peter Pan continued to be compliant with state and federal requirements and provides AB with a copy of all the approved permit application certificates and approval letters, specifying the terms, conditions, or stipulations within 30 days of the issue. So in the packet is also the permit application. There's a location map for Port Moeller and the borough's request for additional information that was met. There is also the public notice posting for the public review portion process and Resolution 21 recommending recommending approval of OSP 2020-01. Any questions? I know that was a lot.
Okay, with that Reader's Digest resolution. So, as we're in, you know, we moved into the Planning Commission meeting, so I would look for a motion to approve the PC Resolution 2101.
Hi, this is Josie. I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Josie.
I'll second that. I assume Josie's motion has those stipulations that Tina referenced in her report. Thank you.
Okay, Paul, second. Are there any other comments or questions on referring to this resolution?
I did have a quick question with Mayor about Tina, if she's still
sure.
Close to the microphone. When we pass this and send it to Peter Pan and Redmond or wherever they are, I think Trevor Millich is the plant manager. Perhaps an inquiry on the status of Peter Pan Seafoods, we might get an answer and pass along if there's any change. There are a lot of rumors, even just recent ones, too. So perhaps might be an opportune time to get the straight scoop. Thanks.
Okay. You can do that. Okay, if there's no other comments.
I should add, this is just a recommendation, the Resolution 21-01, Planning Commission Resolution 21-01. It's a recommendation, so this will be before the Assembly at the November meeting as well for approval.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Okay, question on the motion before the Planning Commission.
Carol?
Yes.
Carol? Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda? Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. With that, that's the only item we have on the Planning Commission, so we need a motion to adjourn out of the planning session.
I make a motion, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll second Denise.
Thank you, Denise. If there's no objections, planning session is adjourned. Planning Commission. With that, we're going to move into the next item on our regular agenda, which is the minutes for September 10th, 2020. I need a motion.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Second?
I'll second. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes for September 10th? If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Annie, financial report for July and August. We need a motion first. And the person maker of the motion could make them as one. Or separate. Warren, would you like to do them both at once?
Yeah, let's do them both at once. Get just go in there.
Okay. Thank you. Second?
I'll second it. This is Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Annie, please.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. First, I'll go over the July 2020 financials before you. This is the beginning of fiscal year 21. All line items reflect what was appropriated during the fiscal year 21 budget cycle, and all line items are on track as they should be for the first month of the new fiscal year. Are there any questions on the July ones before I move to August? Okay, hearing none. Also in the packet is your August 2020 financials. This is as well tracking along on all line items. So one item I'd like to bring to your attention is on the first page for the AEB raw fish tax. We have received approximately 50% of the five-year average in fish tax revenue. So this is $332,820. Administration, the mayor, and the Natural Resources Department are starting to think of alternate revenue sources and other things to figure out if this will be a constant trend or not. So other than that, everything else is tracking as planned. Thank you.
Okay. Questions for Annie?
Just a quick one, Mr. Mayor. Annie, you mentioned considering other alternatives, which is kind of a vague statement, which is fine. But maybe by next meeting, you can be a little more specific on what kind of things you're considering, what the administration is considering. Thank you.
Yes, Mayor, Speaker, and Assembly, I can attempt to do that. That is something we're going to be talking through the strategic planning cycle. But just off the cuff, some items are going to be mariculture and other types of things like that. So if I can't have it at the next meeting, we will have something for you soon.
Any other questions for Annie? If not, you know, one thing for the Assembly also, back when the borough first considered having a permanent fund, other than funding the school and being able to fund our bond debt service, one of the large topics back then was, what happens if we have a one-year glitch in the fisheries? You know, are we set up to be able to absorb that and see if it's a one-year glitch or if it's a trend that's taking place? So I think we've done that quite well over the years, being real careful on how we handle the funding that we have available and realizing that we have obligations on projects and bonds. And, you know, and at sometimes if this starts to look like this could be a trend, one of the things that I think we'll have to look at is our all of our projects that we have before us in our future planning, which is really good that we've been doing this for the last couple of years. So we know where we are on each project, which ones haven't even started yet, and if things at some point look like something may have to be put off or cut or something. But that's something for the Assembly as a group to go through and discuss with administration and with our financial advisors and that type of thing. So I wouldn't look forward to trying to make any decisions or cuts without a financial workshop to see where we are on this. And it is serious to look at the amount of decrease that's taking place in our raw fish tax, whether it be salmon or cod, changes in seasons and that type of thing. And I think it's very important that we look at it. But thankfully, the original, back in the day, the Assembly had the foresight to say, what if this happened? So I think we're in good shape, but we do need to probably have a financial workshop at some point. And hopefully, I would really like to see it happen face-to-face, but as long as this COVID-19 thing is there, that's not going to happen. But, so give everybody something to think about a little bit, but it won't be a knee-jerk reaction. I think we'll all get together, plan it out, look at everything that we're doing, like we've been doing for the last couple of years. So I think that'll work out fine, but it is there on everybody's radar, I'm sure. So with that, any questions? If not, call the question on the motion.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda? Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thanks, everyone. And in your packet, you have the August investment report. Does anybody have any questions? Or Annie, do you have any comments on it?
Just one comment. I did check the account balance this morning, and it was at $42,290,000. And also that administration will be withdrawing the FY21 permanent fund appropriation in the amount of $1,724,449 within the next week and putting it in the AMLET portfolio. So the permanent fund will reflect what's accurately in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, anyone?
Just one quick comment, even though, we've made that decision to withdraw 1.7, I think, and he said, when we're done at this point, we'll be down a little over 10% from our historic high on the permanent fund, and it's just something to keep in mind, because the further we draw it down, the less we can share to meet our needs in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Others? Okay. With that, we have nothing under our consent agenda for this meeting. So we have a couple of ordinances before us. So the first ordinance, we need a motion to adopt the emergency ordinance 21-04, emergency ordinance of the Assembly, issuing a declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. And as this is an emergency ordinance, we do not need a public hearing, so this will pass or fail on the motion. So I am looking for a motion. I guess it could fail.
So move, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Second, Warren.
Second? Thank you, Warren. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterback and Assembly. As Mayor Osterback mentioned, Ordinance 2104 is before you. This is an emergency ordinance for a declaration of disaster in response to COVID-19. Off of this just extends what has been done previously. So this ordinance will supersede all the other ones and will remain in effect for 60 days, which will go until December 6, 2020. Are there any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Question on the motion?
Denise?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
All right. Thank you. And the second ordinance that we have is introduction of Ordinance 21-05, amending the operating and capital budget for the Aleutians East Borough Fiscal Year 2021. So we need a motion to schedule for public hearing.
This is Brenda. Make that motion to schedule for public hearing.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second. This is Josie. Second.
Thank you, Josie. And just to add to that, the public hearing, if this passes, the public hearing will be scheduled for October 19th. So with that, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Speaker and Assembly, before you is Ordinance 2105, amending the operating and capital budget for FY21. On May 28th, the Borough Assembly passed Ordinance 2009, adopting the operating and capital budget for FY21, and passed Resolution 2066, accepting CARES Act funds in the amount of $3.7 million for costs that are necessary expenditures to the public health emergency with respect to COVID-19. At the August 13th Assembly meeting, the Assembly passed a resolution which appropriated the Borough's CARES Act funds to different items. Some of these items included appropriating $50,000 to the Aleutians East Borough School District for purchases in response to COVID-19 pandemic, $150,000 for payroll expenditures for employees, and $75,000 for legal fees. After further consideration and after discussions with our attorneys and auditors, administration suggests reappropriating the $50,000 in School District CARES Act funds as follows: $35,000 to payroll, totaling $185,000, and $15,000 to legal expenditures, totaling $90,000. Administration also recommends amending the borough's FY21 budget to pay $50,000 to the school district from the borough's general fund. The legal presumption would allow the borough to use CARES Act funds on payroll, legal expenses, even if the borough had previously budgeted to pay those same individuals with municipal funds. And then any municipal general funds freed up by being replaced with federal dollars may be then be spent by the school district under ordinary rules for spending local money without the risk of the Inspector General's office subsequently determining that the money missed a deadline or was spent incorrectly. This has been done with the Anchorage Municipality of Anchorage, very similar thing, where they paid their police force with CARES Act funds and then reappropriated their general funds for, I believe, the homeless shelter. So, that being said, the borough, we're recommending that we reduce the administration salary line item by $20,000, the assistant administrator salary line item by $7,000, the communications director salaries by $13,000, and the legal line item by $10,000, and then creating a school contribution line item in the amount of $50,000. So we're just offsetting each other. And then we'll give, if approved at the October 19th meeting, then we would just write a check to the school district in the amount of $50,000. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Mr. Mayor, just one quick one for Annie. This reallocation or shuffling of money to qualify for this funding, does the school district or any other the monies need to be itemized? Is that a requirement? Or just a lump sum is good enough for this purpose?
In this purpose, I think a lump sum is fine.
Thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for the ordinances. So we have three resolutions before us. So I am going to be looking for a motion to bring Resolution 2117, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a MOA between the AEB, the City of Falls Pass, and Silver Bay Seafoods for the use of the Falls Pass Harbor Float A.
This is Brenda. Make motion to approve Resolution 2117.
Thank you, Brenda. Second?
Denise, I'll second.
Yeah, Warren, second.
Okay, Denise, second. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Stavak, I think I'll explain this, and then we do have a public comment on this issue. So if I'll explain it first, that would be great. So before you is Resolution 2117, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute an MOA between the borough, the city, and Silver Bay Seafoods for use of Falls Pass Harbor Float A. The borough owns and the city manages and operates the Falls Pass Small Boat Harbor located in Falls Pass, Alaska. Silver Bay Seafoods has requested to moor vessels with an overall length of 160 to 172 feet to Float A in the harbor in order to offload fish. However, the harbor was not originally designed for vessels of that length. The borough hired Moffitt and Nickel to conduct a structural analysis of the float, and it was confirmed that Float A is not suitable to serve the proposed Silver Bay Seafood vessels without modifications. The borough hired Moffitt and Nickel to then conduct a condition assessment of Float A to determine the current overall condition assessment rating of the facility, provide a summary of the observations and findings from the assessment, and provide concept-level repair recommendations for assets that were found to be deficient for their intended use. Per the assessment, it was determined that the float system is rated as satisfactory, meaning some recommended repairs with low priority. The intent of the assessment was to provide a baseline condition report of the float in the event that Silver Bay Seafoods began operating with larger vessels and damaged the float as a result. Moffitt and Nichols assessments for this project were paid for by Silver Bay Seafoods. Silver Bay Seafoods has proposed to install a foam-filled floating monopile donut-type fendering system, which will be contingent upon the requirements outlined in the MOA. And there's a drawing of this in the packet for you if you're interested in looking at it. Moffitt, Nichols, and the borough and city will review. If authorized, all the parties understand that this is only a short-term fix and that Silver Bay Seafoods must install a long-term solution to support their operations at Falls Pass before the expiration of this MOA. Some of the MOA requirements that are proposed include the term, which will be for 2 years, which will commence on the date of the application. Termination can happen without cause if there's 60 days notice provided. And it also says that, additionally, the city and borough, both jointly and severally, reserve the right to terminate this MOA for cause. So something that might count for that is if Silver Bay Seafoods does not pay their mortgage fees to the city of Falls Pass for 2 months, then they would be able to cancel this MOA. Inspection cycle, Float A shall be inspected annually to verify components are not overstressed or in danger of failing permanently. The borough will hire the engineering firm to conduct the inspection, and SBS or Silver Bay Seafoods shall reimburse the borough for those expenditures. Access operational perimeters will be created, and if Silver Bay damages the float, neither the borough nor the city shall be held responsible for inadequate depth, miscalculation by vessel crew or control, misnavigation, or damage caused by their vessels. This is a public facility, so public access must be permitted. They'll have to do insurance, have the proper insurance, and also it discusses damages that Silver Bay will acknowledge its use of the float under this MOA will be beyond what it was designed for. In exchange for this, Silver Bay shall be responsible to repair all damage caused to the float by its use for the temporary modification contemplated herein, and it further says that SBS, that if there's any damage to individuals or other vessels caused by SBS's use or modifications or neglect of maintenance, shall be the sole responsibility of Silver Bay Seafoods. If this is approved, negotiations between Silver Bay Seafood, the the city and the borough will occur. With that, if there's any questions.
Questions for Annie?
What are they going to do reconstruction there?
Mayor Strabak and Assembly, I don't have an answer to that yet. I think we were going to hopefully get through the MOA and then get a timeline shortly after that.
Okay, I kind of like the idea of them like having to pay for something if they wreck it, but that poor little boat harbor is pretty tight there, and they want to get a 160-footer in there. That's maybe they're just going to put a Y valve there on that Trident one. They could pump their fish over off of that main dock in there.
That's a good idea, and we'll be vetting the design process a little bit further before this is finalized.
Okay. So, well, before we vote on this, too, you know, this has been in the works for, almost a year, I think. Basically trying to figure out how to do this. You know, as most of you know, some of the larger vessels that they were bringing in, they were pumping on the smaller vessels and then pumping at their facility. And fishermen know that when you keep pumping fish, the value goes down. So this isn't something that we actually wanted to do to start with. But with the facility up and running and no one had thought of the larger vessels apparently bringing the fishing process. One of the things is we wanted to keep the value of the fish up to the fishermen and to the processors. Because everyone knows, you know, if the value of the fish goes down to the processor, it goes down to the boat owners and the crews also. So this is one way for us to get through this in the short term. We use engineers to help figure this all out, make sure we cover wind loads, and there's a maximum amount of wind speed that can be used to even to bring them in there. So we've spent quite a bit of time going through this. Hopefully nothing gets damaged in the short term until they figure out a permanent facility to offload to. This is best we could come up with on the short term and to keep the value of the seafood up, both to the fishermen and the processor. So with that being said, unless there's any more questions, I'm going to call a question on the motion.
Before we do that, Mayor Strabak.
Go ahead, Annie.
Oh, somebody had a comment, but before that, we do need to read the public comment.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Warren here again. I know that, you know, the harbor was built for the fishermen, but then the people that are using the harbor in false paths more than the salmon fishermen anyway, you know, they come in there for maybe 2 weeks out of the year where they use that harbor pretty regularly the salmon fleets use it, and then the processor there, they really need it real bad, so to be able to keep that like fish quality up. So I have no problem with this, as long as it's going to be in the short term, and then we could kind of get that boat harbor back to, you know, just regular fishermen again, where they could moor their boats and not worried about having a big mud boat come in there. It probably pretty much jams up damn near the whole harbor there. So, no, that it'll be all right for short term, I guess. That's all I have.
Okay, Warren. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and that's kind of how we got to where we are on this issue right now. So, unless there's other comments, I'm sorry, I forgot to that there was a public comment. So, Annie, you guys, whoever's going to do that, want to go ahead with that?
Yeah, Laura, would you please go ahead?
Yes, absolutely. This comment is from Abby Frederick of Silver Bay Seafoods. It reads as follows. Dear Mayor Osterbeck and AEB Assembly members, on behalf of Silver Bay Seafoods Falls Pass, we want to extend our sincere thanks to the Aleutians East Borough, AEB, for bringing forward AEB Resolution 2117, and we appreciate the opportunity to comment. We support this resolution as it would authorize the AEB mayor to negotiate and execute an MOA between the Aleutians East Borough, the City of Falls Pass, and Silver Bay Seafoods for the use of the Falls Pass Harbor Float A, which is critical to the operations of our new processing facility in Falls Pass. These temporary modifications would reduce operating costs, which will ensure the long-term success of our plant, directly benefit our fishermen owners, many of which are AEB residents, and support economic stimulus offered to the community slash region from having a new state-of-the-art fish processing facility in Falls Pass. The proposed temporary modifications to Float A have been designed with flexibility in mind to transfer load from the larger vessels directly to the piles while allowing flexibility to more smaller vessels and use the dock for other purposes by using a system that is easy to remove when the large vessels are not using the float. We would be accepting responsibility for the cost of the project and are committed to being good neighbors with those accessing this public dock. We thank the AEB and the City of Falls Pass for working with us on this project and look forward to a long, productive partnership with the community. Sincerely, Abby Frederick, Director of Communications, Silver Bay Seafoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments on this resolution?
None that have come through to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the Assembly? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda? Brenda?
Are you saying Brenda? Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Lawrence?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So, before us, we need a motion and a second to bring Resolution 2118, authorizing the Aleutians East Borough to be an applicant of an ANILCA 1110B application.
So move, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
I'll second. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use Resolution 2118, the state, the City of King Cove, the King Cove Corporation, the borough, and others have been advocating to complete the construction of a 12-mile road link to connect King Cove with the Cold Bay Airport. To accomplish this, the state and other qualified applicants intend to submit an ANILCA 1110B application to the federal government, which would permit access to federal lands within the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. The ANILCA 1110B process would permit access to in-holdings, which is privately owned land inside the boundary of a national park, national forest, state park, or similar publicly owned protected area. ANILCA 1110B states that if the state-owned or privately owned land is within or effectively surrounded by one or more conservation system units, national recreation areas, national conservation areas, or those public lands designated as wilderness study, the state or private owner shall be given by the Secretary of Interior such rights as may be necessary to assure adequate and feasible access for economic and other purposes to the concerned land by such state or private owner or occupier and their successors in interest. Therefore, because the state, the borough, and city-owned land in King Cove, which is surrounded by federal land as described above, we are authorized to submit an ANILCA 1110B application. If approved, it would permit the state, borough, or city to use federal lands inside the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. Administration anticipates that a 300 to 500-acre easement would be granted to the state. Our attorneys, borough, and the state's attorneys are still determining who the applicant should be, but by approving this resolution, the Assembly would authorize the borough to be an applicant if needed. Funding for the application will be paid for by the city, or I'm sorry, by the state and City of King Cove per an existing MOA with the borough. Therefore, no additional funds from the borough will be needed. And with that, if there's any questions.
Questions for Annie?
About one quick one, Paul. Here.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. Annie, during the break, I read a little bit in this B section, and I guess it's referred to commonly as inholdings, and it could refer to things like homesteads and mining claims. And I thought it was areas that were surrounded completely. However, this doesn't fit that bill, but I guess it does apply. If they said it doesn't, that's just allowed us to negotiate. But nothing changed for quite a few years. Why? I don't know why we're waiting till now, if it applied to us, to apply. Why the wait until now, I guess, is the primary question I have. Thank you.
Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, I don't have an exact answer of why we waited, but it just seemed like this was the appropriate time to do that, and the state's taken the lead. So this is the path that they're moving forward on.
Other questions?
Yeah, one comment from Warren here.
Go ahead, Warren.
With this ANILCA clause, from what I took from other people working on this case, is that, you know, they finally dug this up, and I think it was used up north, I think it's up on that one of them mines that they got the land through from. Surrounding villages are supposed to be able to, access an airport when they're surrounded by wilderness lands. So there's a provision in the ANILCA for that to be able to, as a tool, to be able to get a right-of-way through the wilderness. And I know that when this, talking to people in town in King Cove here, when they made that wilderness and refuge over in Cove Bay, the Department of Fish and Game went in there and they burnt all the trapping cabins down just to probably, cover up that nobody had claims there. Well, anyway, a lot of people have claims there all over this our area, from Bill Kosky, King Cove, Falls Pass, people trapped around a lot of these areas here. So, with the corporation at King Cove here, we can't even access our lands over on the west side of Cold Bay, over by Mortensen's, where we have some lands there, and that's what they want to trade us for. For this easement to go across there, so, but I know that the government already let us do this, but it always gets so tied up in court. So this is another way to try and justify getting our easement through the wilderness. So if this is, sometimes I heard the guys who are working on this, they say this is kind of our last draw, so. Hopefully, they'll open up the Tongass. They'll be plowing roads through those wilderness and in the timber area down there, and we could, maybe have a little easier time getting our easement through the wilderness here. So there's a lot of things going on there. I know that the Trump administration's for this road, and, Lisa Murkowski's backing us on it. So I think, it's tough when we get tied up in court, so we're just relying on a judge the way he thinks. So it's, we've been waiting a long time for this. I know it sure would help King Cove to be able to get over there to that airport where, we could actually fill a plane up if they had to without having to worry about weather so much. So Okay, that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Warren. That was some good information. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Dulce?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So our third resolution is Resolution 21-19, requesting a fishery disaster determination for the 2020 South Alaska Peninsula commercial salmon fishery. During our workshop, we had a good discussion on this, and during our break, a new modified 21-19 was developed to replace the old one. Everyone seemed to be in agreement with that when we did it, so probably the easiest way is to make ask for a motion to accept the modified 21-19 resolution and then have Ernie go through the changes. If that's acceptable, I'd look for a motion.
Well, I'll make that motion to put on the table the modified resolution that was in our packet that Ernie modified the last half hour. And we all, I think most of them, I have an email in front of me. I do.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Do we have a second?
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you, Denise. Ernie, would you explain the differences?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So in September, we talked a little bit about a disaster resolution for the salmon season, and there was a draft circulated then. That's the one that's included in the packet. During the workshop, as was mentioned, it was suggested that we include not just the South Peninsula, but all of both the North and the South Peninsula. So any references to South Peninsula have just been changed to Alaska Peninsula and or Area M. So that's the main change. Also, there was a percentage about the decrease in the number of salmon harvested. That number was 64% in my quick math. Since I had some of those numbers on my computer, I revised that to 61%. I'm going to have to go through those numbers a little closer because we don't want to send, but I'm fairly certain that that's the correct number. Again, I'll go through that closer. I've included not just the communities of King Cove Falls Pass and Sand Point, but all of the communities, including Nelson Lagoon, Cold Bay, and Akatan as well. And those are basically the changes. If and when this is passed, we will submit it to the governor. We could also send it along to the Secretary of Commerce, but we'll send it along with a detailed letter with the mayor and give more background information for those who would make that determination. Community letters of support would certainly be welcome, and sometimes we try to get those before we go ahead and make this resolution, but that's where we're at, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions?
A couple of clarifying things, Mr. Mayor. Ernie, in your memo that you sent out, you had revenue losses less than 35 cents. 35% will not be eligible, except when the secretary determines there are special and unique circumstances. when you determine the value, because this references the revenue, sometimes there's spring bonuses, and that hasn't been determined yet. How do you calculate that into your revenue? All the sockeye bonuses, or even pink salmon, even though there wasn't much pink salmon caught. How do you calculate that into this formula?
Thanks, Paul. Through the mayor, that's a great question. The only real information I have is what we pull in on our tax, our fish tax, and that's where we've included in the resolution that the staff concludes that there's been at least a 50% decrease in gross revenues for fishermen. So hard for me to answer that. I don't know. We just give them the best information we can. And then as far as the timeline that was brought up during the workshop, there really is no timeline as far as requesting or in a possible determination. So sorry, I can't answer that better.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, and with that, if we send this resolution in with a letter, maybe in that letter that we could state that the adjusted sockeye or fish prices normally will not be known until spring or something, which is true. I mean, with bonuses, they usually don't get paid till later, and that becomes part of your, your season earnings on sockeye or all salmon species. Okay. Any other comments or questions for Ernie? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda? Brenda? Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Lauren? Lauren?
Yes. Sorry, the mute.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thanks everyone. That's all the resolutions we have before us. We have no old business at this time. Business. So we are down to reports and updates. You want to kick this one off, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Officer Back in Assembly. In the packet is my report, but just a few updates. One is actually while we were meeting, we received an email from Eastern Aleutian Tribes that today in King Cove, one person tested positive for the virus that caused COVID-19. Upon receiving the positive test results, the patient was immediately placed in isolation away from others. The individual is a non-Alaska resident, hence the State of Alaska Daily Reporting will not show this as a positive case for our region. So that has just came in as we've been meeting. Also on CARES Act, just to funding, the borough's Emergency Assistance and Economic Stimulus Grant was released on September 1. As of September 30, the boroughs received a 272 applications, and we've approximately paid 132 residents, 70 from Sandpoint, 54 from King Cove, and five from False Pass, and three from Accutan, about $99,000. We keep going those weekly and paying those weekly. So that's an ongoing effort, and I would really like to thank Glenora and Mary in particular for reviewing those. Glenora has been instrumental in this process, and I just want her and everybody to know how much that is appreciated. Effective September 15th, the borough began accepting nonprofit and civic relief program applications. Applications will be accepted until October 30th. Eligible applicants will be awarded up to $10,000 or an equally prorated amount to all qualified applicants. Therefore, if we receive 1 to 15 applicants, each would receive $10,000, and if there were like 50 applicants, each applicant would get $3,000. We're working on other items that were appropriated. Indoor air quality upgrades is one. $100,000 has been appropriated to this, and I'm working with Dow and Superior, which is a mechanical company here in Anchorage, on getting those projects off the ground. And as of September, which in the packet I only had August numbers, but August we spent $153,000 in CARES Act funding, and through September we've expended $303,000 for that. Is there any questions on that before I move on?
Annie, this is Carol. I have a question. I missed the beginning of what you said about the COVID in standpoint here.
So actually it was in King Cove. We received a email from Paul Mueller, the CEO of EAT, that one person's tested positive in King Cove. It is the individual is a non-Alaska resident, so it won't show up in our case count.
Okay, just for FYI to make people more comfortable, I was on the airplane with the person that had COVID. I've had three tests, 14 days of self-quarantine, and my third test was today, and they're all negative, so I'm actually good to go, they said. So just for a little peace of mind for people.
Thank you. Okay, so the borough still has an employee policy in place. The only thing that has changed here is the borough's business travel policy, and I know this is something that was brought up during the assembly work session. So we do have a travel policy in place for regular travel. That has since about March, been business travel has been prohibited simply because we didn't want to bring the virus into the communities. And now, you know, with projects that still need to be done, we have permitted that business travel within and outside the state may be permitted on an as-needed basis. However, a COVID-19 travel protocol will have to be developed. So that needs to go through me, and then we'll discuss the safest way and if it is actually needed travel. So I hope that answers your question, Paul, from earlier, but that's what we've done. We've just got some projects and some repairs that have to happen, so we need to have travel occur when needed.
Just to clarify, I think one of the other staff said they were planning on traveling already, so apparently he can't until that protocol is developed. Is that, I guess?
That's correct. Yes, and...
Yeah.
Yes, and so the COVID protocol will be customized based on the travel need. So if somebody needs to travel for one reason, it might have this, or if they're going to King Cove, it'll be this way. If they're going to Accutan, it'll be this way. Nelson Lagoon, any of the communities, the travel protocol will be adjusted as such. So we're trying to honor the community's requests and needs and also do it in a safe manner for the employee.
Yep. So, Paul, did I hear you saying we've had somebody on staff on business travel?
Oh, I'm just reading the memo, that's all. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, nobody has as of yet for business purposes. Some needs in the Natural Resources Department for travel to occur. But like I said, that'll have its own COVID travel protocol developed for that.
Okay, thank you.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we continue to post stuff on Facebook. We're hosting weekly meetings, which will now become biweekly meetings with each the school district and the communities. It's been really useful to have these meetings. We've been able to discuss all the changes within and share information. A lot of it from EAT is very useful to know what's happening. So those have been pretty valuable. And I appreciate all the community's attendance in those. And we'll also continue to attend AML, state emergency manager briefings, and others throughout this pandemic. So next, we've got Alaska Municipal League Virtual Conference. Typically, I see a typo, sorry, but typically this is held at the Captain Cook in November. That will not occur in this instance due to COVID-19, so they will be hosting this virtually. Newly elected officials training will be held November 9th through the 10th, and the annual local government conference will be held November 16th through the 20th. I've attached the agenda. If you are interested in attending, please let Tina know, Assembly, because we do get a discount if we have like three or more people attend. We do get a discount for registration. So please let her know. I've always found these very beneficial. It'll be interesting how it works virtually, but if you're interested, please let Tina or I know. Next is the Cold Bay Terminal, TSA passenger screening hold room layout. I did attach an example or the final design for your reference. We don't have a time yet determined on when this will be built, but this is the layout that we've came up with. Hopefully it'll give us the maximum usage of the hold room space that we can have, and it will secure TSA's passenger screening equipment as well. We also are held to some security requirements, which is installing new locks, which we're working on right now. But basically, we'll have to have a double locking system because this is a unique circumstance where it will be in secure mode 15 minutes before the plane, Alaska Airlines plane lands, and 15 minutes after they leave. So doors will have to be properly locked during that time with just those people with the security access to have access to those rooms. And then once they leave, it's opened back up to all the people that should be in the building. So, or like Raven and Grant, who should be in the building. So we're working on that. We've also ordered signs and other things that TSA is requiring us to do. And then finally, an update for Raven. Here it says we continue to have discussions. I'm waiting to receive written documentation. I have since received all of the documentation from Raven, and they have been provided the keys today to the facility. After speaking to the COO, their plan is to do a trial run on Friday to Cold Bay and Unalaska, and they hope to begin operations on October 14th to Sandpoint, Cold Bay, and Unalaska, starting on the 14th. But that target date could change, but that is their plan so far. Are there any questions on that?
Annie, I did hear on Monday they were doing test flights to Kenai Peninsula to add a little bit to that kind of same rumor that we're kind of.
Right, yeah, they're trying to get their FAA compliance finished for all their flights. The other thing, too, just somebody asked me about their ticketing system. They are planning on using the existing ticketing system that Raven had used before, is their plan. So next, the bond refinancing. We're still on hold on this. I'll keep you updated as things progress, but we're still going to wait to see if there's a better time to do that bond refinance that we were planning on doing. Another project we're working on is the Accoon Boat Harbor Study. We are working with the tribe, the Accutan tribe, and the Army Corps of Engineers on this. All the paperwork has been submitted to the Corps for their review, and that has since gone to headquarters in Hawaii, and we're hoping to get a determination on that soon, and as soon as I do, I will let you know. But we're still working on that. Other items, strategic planning. We've started to do the meetings. We have a bunch of meetings scheduled in October to plan the upcoming planning cycle. So when we get closer, we'll have dates set for meetings with the assembly, but we have started that process. Also, the Acutan Essential Air Service update. Grant Aviation and Maritime have submitted a joint essential air service proposal to USDOT. I provided the link on here for their proposals if you're interested in looking at them. Administration has reviewed, and we've also discussed with the City of Acutan the proposals, and we've sent a letter of recommendation to USDOT recommending the continuation of the essential air service route between Dutch Harbor and Acutan Island, and further recommending that they approve Grant and Maritime's proposal for the two-year term requested, but also an additional 3 one-year options. So, and then also the borough would pay the 50% of the compensation for the cost of the helicopter between Acoon and Acutan, which will come before you when the time is right for approving that agreement. So that's an update there. It is exciting because that means we've got two to potentially 5 years to work on the Acoon link. A few things that aren't on here, just one item. There, I do have a King Cove Road update, which I didn't have when I wrote this. So really quickly, I'll make this fast. 1 second if I can open the file. But according to our attorney, the district, the Alaska Federal, the district court's order and opinion on the King Cove land exchange is currently under active appeal and briefing to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Ninth Circuit Court has issued a scheduling order, which provides the following times for filing briefs in this case. October 22nd, the King Cove Corporation and Tribes, the state, and the Department of Interior shall each file their opening briefs by that date. We are working closely with the state to align our briefs as much as possible. November 23rd, the opposition to the King Cove Land Exchange, which is 7 different environmental advocacy groups, shall file their answering brief to our opening briefs. And then December 14th, reply briefs filed by King Cove, Corp, Tribe, State, Borough, Departments of Interior, et cetera, are to be filed. Once that's done, the Ninth Circuit will schedule an oral argument hearing in 2021. And that will typically be held in Anchorage in the summer for Alaska cases. However, because of COVID-19, some of these oral arguments were held virtually. So timing of the oral argument is not certain yet, but as we learn more, we will share that with you. Any questions on that? Okay, and lastly, the Air Force is interested in conducting a military exercise in Cold Bay in the spring, and they will be doing a site survey in Cold Bay on October 14th to the 17th. To see if the site will work for that exercise. So I just wanted people to be aware of that. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you. Mayor Osterbach, are you there?
I was on mute, so I just been talking away. What do you think? I said, thank you, Annie. Is there any questions for Annie? I'm still done. No. Thank you, Annie, for your report. Mary?
Thanks, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Good afternoon. My report is in the packet for your review. So first, I'm pleased to report that after postponing the clinic project this summer due to COVID, we reissued the invitation to bid yesterday, October 7th. Bids will be due on November 20th, and a resolution approving a contract with a selected contractor is planned to be before the Assembly in December. The pre-bid meeting and the public bid opening will be held via video conference to ensure social distancing and safe practices for everybody involved. At the request of the City of Cold Bay, the selected contractor will be required to provide us with its COVID prevention plan that they filed with the state. All personnel traveling to the community will be required to follow all federal, state, and local mandates with respect to COVID, and they will also need to have a negative test at least 48 hours prior to traveling to Cold Bay and immediately upon arrival. So we really do want to keep the community safe, and we're going to do everything we can to ensure that happens. In terms of scheduling, the complete project schedule will be determined by the contractor, but we expect substantial completion of the project in late July 2021 and then final completion by late August 2021. So we're really excited that this project is getting kicked off again. I'd like to take any questions on this particular topic if there are any. Okay, so moving on, Annie mentioned the stimulus program. So we are still accepting applications for another month. While we've been talking, I looked up the current count for today. We're at about 321 applications as of today, which is fantastic. Again, I mentioned last month, but if anyone has any questions on the process, just please contact me or email me, and I'm happy to help. We are having a hard time getting a hold of a few folks, so people listening on the radio, if you submitted your application a while ago and haven't seen a payment from us, we may be trying to get in touch with you. So please call myself or Glenora to check on the status of your application. That would be great. Also, one thing I wanted to mention is that if you notice your community needs more paper copies of the application sent out, please let one of us know and we'll get those sent out to your location as soon as possible. And another COVID-related issue, we're also still posting photos on Facebook of folks wearing masks. So if you'd still like to participate, please send me your photo. The rest of my report kind of details a lot of the projects Annie already mentioned, so I'll skip that. And with that, I'll take any questions. Thank you.
Yes, this is Brenda. How many applications have you declined so far?
How many we've paid out?
Declined.
How many have been turned down?
Oh, declined. Thank you for the question. We haven't sent any declines out yet, so I don't have a count on that as of now.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, Mary, you probably should double check on that too and make sure.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mary?
Yeah. Mary has a house in Cold Bay next year. Is that, did I hear that right? Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and members of the Assembly. My report is in the packet for your review. At the end of last month, I wrapped up work on the PowerPoint presentation for Mayor Osterbeck to present virtually at the annual Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. This year's conference, due to COVID, was held online via Zoom. Mayor Osterbeck presented the PowerPoint on October 1st, and the presentation included the latest information on several projects, including the Acatan Harbor, the Akoon Breakwater and Dock, the Falls Pass Harbor, Sandpoint's New Harbor, the Nelson Lagoon Dock, and the Terminal Building in Cold Bay. So I just wanted to thank Borough Administration as well as community administrators who assisted me in gathering the research to reflect the latest changes. Another item I worked on recently included putting together Census 2020 flyers for each AEB community to post in multiple locations. The goal was to make one last push before the previous October 5th deadline. Shortly afterwards, the deadline was extended to October 31st, so I updated the flyers to reflect that change. And as we've heard before, and it's definitely worth a reminder, the 2020 census is really important for each community because we're talking about millions of dollars of federal funding for fisheries, harbors, schools, public safety, and health facilities in Alaska. So it is really important. We also posted this information on Facebook. Sent out four in-the-loop newsletters. They included information about the AEB CARES Act, relief funds for nonprofit and civic organizations, as well as individuals. In addition, we sent out early in-person voting information for Sandpoint, King Cove, and Acatan. And we also helped to put out the word to help promote KSDP's AEB Mayoral Forum, which was on September 25th, as well as Sandpoint's Mayoral Forum, which was broadcast on September 28th. And this also went on Facebook. We also put out information on October 6th containing the preliminary results from the Aleutians East Borough elections, and then later posting information onto AEB's Facebook page regarding city elections that were sent to me and posted on Facebook. Another project I'm working on is part of the government and policy section of the strategic plan. And this includes gathering information for the Marine Highway narrative. This is going to include testimonials from borough residents about how they rely on the ferry, how important it is to them, how the cuts to the ferry system impacts them, their families, businesses, et cetera. And so what we're thinking about doing is including a combination of video testimonials that we can post to YouTube channel, as well as written information that will be used to reach lawmakers and other decision makers about this important issue. So just wanted to let you know about that. And another section of the plan includes looking at how we can update our website to provide it with an improved and refreshed appearance, as well as make it easier to navigate. So we'll be seeking a quote soon from website designers. If anyone has feedback that they can offer regarding the website, please contact me about that. I continue to attend multiple weekly meetings regarding the latest with COVID-19, including with the state of Alaska. And I'm also working on other day-to-day tasks and projects, including updating white papers. So as always, I'm happy to help get the word out about events and issues going on in your community. So please feel free to contact me and let me know how I can help. If you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions for Laura? Okay. Laura, I have one. I know the borough has been working with KSDP as they extend their reach into Falls Pass and Acatan. Do you know if either of those facilities are up and running yet?
I'm not sure, but I can look into that and get back to you on that.
Okay.
So okay, thank you.
Good information for the assembly. Maybe send it to Tina and she could send it out on where those two communities stand.
Will do. Thank you.
If there's no other questions for her, Ernie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report's also in the packet. I'll just go through a little bit. I've been trying to follow the Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group. It's been they've had challenges, but their final meeting was last week. I've provided links to the report that they've been using. You know, they're trying to figure out a way to make the ferry system sustainable. The Northern Economics Report is linked. I also put a link to their final meeting. They had a PowerPoint presentation. There's a link there. I was dismayed on one part where it was a possibility to eliminate the Southwest run, and one of the members said, yes, you should eliminate it. So in the heat of the moment, I wrote an email. I linked that so that they've submitted their report to the governor, but it's not been made public. When it is made public, the MTAB, the Marine Transportation Advisory Board that I'm a part of, will consider that and make comments on it. And we'll get it to you as soon as it comes out. Mark Hickey is also following the reshaping work group's work as well. I included some information on how the BSAI crab quota is established. And the day I submitted my report, the tax were set. You'll notice that Bristol Bay red king crab has gone down significantly in the last 6 years, down to 2.6 million pounds for the total allowable catch. On the other hand, snow crab has continued to go up for the past 4 or 5 years, and there will be a West Bering Sea Tanner crab about the same as was last year. Peter Pan has said they're going to process their crab because pollock is going late. They'll have a crew, and so there was some thought that they might have to process it somewhere else, but they are not. Apicta, who has been custom processing in Trident, is moving their custom processing to Dutch Harbor, which is unfortunate for both Accutan and the borough. We lose some amount of tax revenue, but they are allowed to do that. North Pacific Council has been going on. Last week was the SSC. This week is the AP. I was kind of monitoring the AP during this meeting. The AP will pick up on staff tasking 8 in the morning if anybody's interested, virtual meeting. We just passed a resolution that would prioritize Gulf of Alaska surveys for next year, since the Gulf is only surveyed every other year. It needs to be prioritized next year, or else we could miss 3 years. And there's that. So the Seafood Trade Relief Assistance Program was announced by the USDA, who doesn't do a lot of seafood programs, but last month, fishermen, or that is permit holders, limited entry or otherwise through CFEC, can apply by December 14th. It's to make up for any retaliatory tariffs by China, and there's a bit of money. I am disappointed that crew members are not able to apply for this, but hopefully vessel owners and or captains will be able to share some of that. And it's not listed on my meetings, but we'll hope to have some sort of Zoom meeting for fishermen, talk about all the relief programs just as soon as pollock is over, hopefully by the early November. So the state has come out with a new PCOD, 2008 Gulf of Alaska PCOD disaster distribution plan. The assembly has commented on it twice, and you may want to comment on it again. I've listed some of the changes. They have added vessel crew as one of the allocations. They've increased processor allocation and the allocation to communities from 4% to 5%. So that comments are due next week on the 19th. Also, they've released a spending plan for the CARES Act, the $50 million that would come to Alaska for not only fishermen, also processors, subsistence, and sport users. That is also... comments are also due on that on October 19th, which is odd because that's a state holiday, Alaska Day observed. So, again, we'll try to have a fisherman Zoom meeting on all the relief programs because it's been a tough year for everybody. And then I've listed some of the meetings I've been to and plan to attend. Again, the council meeting will be going on next week with the council, and at the end of the week will be the work session for the Board of Fish. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Ernie. Any questions for Ernie?
Yep. Mr. Mayor, Ernie, the Seafood Trade Relief Assistance Program is a bigger deal than I think a lot of people realize. Quite a few people have applied, but I think we should go out of our way to publicize it a little more because it will make a substantial impact on our communities. And So I think everybody should, that's why I'm speaking now, so people who are listening, make sure they apply for the Seafood Relief Assistance Program. Under the, it's more than all these other programs, I believe, the amount of money that they come back to the communities and the people that could use the money. So I guess I spoke enough. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. I agree. It's a big one, and it's posted on our website, aebfish.org, and the Facebook. This one is just for fishermen. So, yeah, there's a big pot of money, and we will be doing more on it. Again, I mentioned the Zoom meeting. So thank you, Paul.
Other questions or comments? Okay. Charlotte.
All right, thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So I'm going to keep my report pretty short today. With regard to electronic monitoring, it's been a pretty busy past month or so. We had a big fleet outreach meeting between the sea and D seasons. I think I mentioned last meeting we had quite a bit of issues that were sort of expected growing pains, but they were things that we really needed to take care of. So a lot of my time has been dedicated to getting those resolved and getting the fleet educated. So, yeah, we had a processor-specific meeting on the 15th. That went really well. I thought the processor engagement has been very high, and we've been getting a lot of good response from them. So we had the full fleet processor meeting on the 29th. I did include my presentation in my report if you'd like to see it. And also just spent a lot of time putting together different tools to assist the fishermen in following the rules of the EFP and doing proper data collection and things like that. The DC for Pollock just ended 2 days ago. I think we were slightly under the tack, which is probably good for this end of the year. So that's just been something we're just now starting to get data back from the D season, and it's looking really good. I think our fishermen have made a lot of huge improvements, and that bodes well for a regulated program in the pollock fishery. I also wanted to note that the EM project has surprisingly been able to provide some CPUE supplemental data to Martin Dorn, the stock assessment author for pollock, which he plans to use for the upcoming assessment. So that was like a really nice, unexpected use of the data that we've been collecting to directly benefit the stock assessment. And I also attended the Trolley-M committee meeting on the 17th. There was lots of discussion about the next steps for EM projects and electronic technologies across the North Pacific. Lots of conversation about how to look at cost metrics, because, as you know, our fleet is in the partial coverage, and they end up paying a hefty percentage to pay for observers and things. So there's just a lot of analysis that needs to happen on cost. I did also include the full report from the Trolley and Community meeting that was given to the North Pacific Council. So you can do that as well if you want more details. As far as the Fisherman's Data Portal project, the work itself on that project is coming along really well. We are having a little bit of difficulty finalizing one of the contracts with Intertidal Agency, who is the pass-through of the funding regarding some of the intellectual property of this project. But I think we're on track to getting it resolved. It's just taking longer than normal. And I'm also working pretty closely with the plants to get direct access to e-landing so we can trial the portal in A season, which would be really exciting. We've also finished e-log development, which has been a really big deal for the fleet because our under 60 fleet has not historically used paper logbooks. So it's been a really big push to get them to use logbook reported data. And this e-log development is going to make it a lot easier for everyone. For mariculture, I did note that because of the borough travel policy changes, I'm now trying to revisit the idea of field work out in the region, which has been postponed basically since the pandemic started. Before any traveling occurs, I'm gonna do my best to put together a very thorough COVID safety protocol, and it'll probably include a lot of things that the seafood processors have already done since they've worked very closely with the vessels. And also finalizing my field sampling design and then putting together an RFP for the vessel charter. I have received all the lease documents from DNR regarding the kelp farm. I'm reviewing them now and would like to meet with the borough attorney at some point to review the documents and finalize. But once that's done, that lease will be available to the assembly. And then other things that are going on, we're always thinking about strategic planning. As Annie mentioned earlier, Ernie and I are always thinking about potential revenue streams, alternative revenue streams, and that could include mariculture, but I think it could include a lot of other things. It's definitely not just mariculture, so we want to brainstorm that a bit. And this is kind of a new thing. I'd like to put together a review of the current literature on the hatchery salmon impact on wild populations. That was something that I think has been brought up a few times from several different people. And I don't know that I would call it a white paper per se, but I definitely think it's worth putting together some of the available information so we can kind of see where we're at with this issue and how it affects the borough. And then, of course, I'm attending lots of meetings. It's council season, and I try to keep up with the draft spending plans and things that are coming out as needed. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them now. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions? Okay. Hearing none. Last one we got is Emil. Emil, your report did not make it into the packet, so you can just go through it.
Okay, I think it was sent out a little bit later.
It definitely has it by email.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Lucian's East Borough Assembly. Been working here in Sandpoint with the office paint and office and shop painting project, I guess, trying to get paint on in between storms and rain. Seems like we always get to September, October and try to put paint on, but we're making it and hopefully get it to stay on using a different product this time. And went through the schools, asked the principal at Nacatan Falls Pass and King Cove if there was any earthquake damage in the schools. And Sandpoint, there was just a little bit of problems in Sandpoint that occurred and just did some drainage issues there as well. So we'd stop a lot of that water, hopefully draining into the front parking lot. In the King Cove schools, they had oven replacement problems there with getting taken care of so they could get the ovens back up and running in school there. And we've had still have that ongoing hard water issues there in the copper piping. I'm trying to look into getting a water softener unit going in there, but just needing to get a test and seeing what kind of a unit that we need to be able to look at in the school there before we have big major problems. Jason went out a month ago to Falls Pass and put on the siding out there in at Falls Pass School that came up in the winter, the last winter storm. Nacatan School, Aleutian Heating came out there just a couple weeks ago and did an assessment on the circulating pumps. We had a problem with no heat getting circulated in the school. One pump had froze up. The other pump, the grounding wire came off. We got the third pump running with the third boiler system. That's up and running and got a list now of stuff that needs to get taken care of over there, more of what wasn't done or on the scope of work of what we just did with the contractors coming in there. So it's something that's totally different with that. And Jason replaced some light bulbs out there, so there's some more you know, things that still need to be done out there as well. With I helped Mary with that Standpoint grant application, got that all in before the deadline, finding different options now for either getting the fuel tank in Accutan on a fuel truck out to either get serviced and overhauled, or look into bringing in something else, whatever, maybe cheaper that may keep us up for, sounds like, another five or so years out there, so that we have good fuel for the helicopter. And working with trying to get the fire inspection guy out for the schools with all the different communities to keep the price down. Going to go to Cold Bay for the terminal fire inspection and sprinklers there as well. So the guy's really good, wanting to split up costs of airfares to keep everybody's prices down to do their annual fire and sprinkler inspections for their buildings. Just trying to keep up on maintenance issues before winter comes in. Anybody got any other questions?
Thank you,
Amos. Questions, Amos? Warren, go on. Yeah, we got... I was called over to the power house here at King Coven. The line from the heating glycol line from the power house to the school and where it wise off over to the clinic there. That poor little pipe looks pretty sad shape. I was wondering who's the responsibility is that for that pipe there that runs from the power house to the school and clinic?
I'm not 100% sure if that's ours or if the city had put that in for. Is that part of that that recovery heat stuff? Or I'm not quite sure on what's going on there.
Yeah, it's the heat stuff. Well, anyway, the line is cracked, so you guys don't have any more waste heat going over there to the school at the moment. So we're in the process of trying to repair it. So I just wanted to get it out there if you didn't hear about it. But anyway, it's in the works. But I have one thing I might say, that pipe, it's in really bad shape. So there's somebody got to look into, you know. I don't know if it just got wet at that joint where they wrapped it and the wrapping let water in there, but that pipe is almost shot. It's pretty sad looking. I'm going to let you know.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'll get into looking at that and see what we can do, if that's something we may have or something we can look into, if that's our responsibility or how we could try to help in any way, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Emil? Okay, so that's the end of our reports and updates. We're down to assembly comments.
Yeah, comment here, Warren.
Hey, Warren.
Yeah, comment I got is I heard some of the numbers being tossed around about the cod again, that that they reduced 30%, and then the state wanted to reduce theirs 30%. The feds did theirs 30%. The state's going to do theirs 30%. And then one comment I heard from a fisherman today that the cod seem to be coming up in their bycatch from the trawl pollock season. So would there be any way to like to lobby the state to, you know, if the feds drop their tax down, the state doesn't have to do theirs. They still have to go off of that federal tax anyway. Doesn't their allocation or tax come off of the Fed anyway? It's a question for Ernie.
Mr. Mayor, yeah, so the state quota allocation is based on the federal tax, and so this last year the federal tax was so low there was not a federal season, but there still was enough for bycatch in the federal fisheries and for a state fishery. It, to me, so they've just, at this meeting, the AP just passed the proposed tax. These are just proposed. The final tax sheet will come out in December, of course, but it looks to me like it's going to be kind of a rollover from last year, and so there probably won't be a federal season, but there probably will be a state season. Charlotte probably has a better crystal ball than I have, but that's for the Gulf. For the Bering Sea, they are dropping the PCOD. The proposed spec sheet will drop the Bering Sea PCOD. I'll pass it to Charlotte in case she wants to comment.
Yeah, hey, Ernie, thank you. I don't have too much to add. I mean, I don't really have a crystal ball. I mean, I would think after talking to Steve Barbeau and looking at the proposed tax sheets, the spec sheets, I'm sorry. I mean, it's looking really similar to what it would be like what it was this year. So I would imagine we're going to see kind of the same as we did, probably a small state fishery. And I don't have the bycatch numbers from the pollock trawl, but that might be something I might be able to look into if anybody's interested, since we have that data from our program.
Okay, that kind of clears things up for me, thinking that, you know, we weren't going to be able to have a small state cod fishery here on the Western Gulf here. But, man, I tell you, the way things are looking now, we got to try real hard to get that going again, because people are, after this disaster salmon season, we got to try like heck to get that for our fishermen here. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Other assembly comments?
Hi, Mr. Mayor, this is Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
Mine is for Annie or Mary. It's in regard to the COVID fund, the CARES Act fund. With that doesn't seem like very many applications that have been submitted. Is there any plans to go back to look at the application to tweak it, or does that leftover funds get sent back? Because it seems like there's not very many people applying.
This is Annie. I can answer that. So our hope is that people will still apply between now and November 15th, but if they don't, what we possibly would do is maybe, which we haven't vetted completely, is just maybe do a second round of applications and change it up a little bit and do a quick one, and or think of other ways we can reappropriate the monies between November and December. But you're correct. If we don't spend it, it does have to go back to the state and then back to the federal government. So we're trying our hardest. But our hope is, you know, we're getting quite a few a day, so numbers keep growing, but we hope people will apply. And then we'll think of a plan B if they don't and bring that before you guys.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Before we go to see if there's any more public comments, I got one. Thinking on executive session, I know there's some frustration in the assembly of trying to get something bring an executive session onto the agenda. So here's maybe a little idea. I think if a assembly member has something that they think is important and it needs to be put on there, hopefully I think they should contact the borough administrator, and then they could talk it over and maybe talk it over with the attorney to see if it meets the if the needs are there and it meets it to go into executive session. Because as you know, we operate under state rules, municipal rules. So there's certain things that you can put in executive session and some don't qualify. So I think if there's a need for it, from an assembly member that that conversation should take place, and then it could be put on the next regular agenda, and that would give staff time to bring in any experts that need to be there, like our attorneys or our lobbyists or whatever the issue has, you know, has to deal with. So rather than just the assembly talking about something in an executive session, we could have all the players there so it doesn't get drug out, and we can deal with it. So maybe that's something we should try to put to rest, maybe some ideas that are out there or bring up. So maybe we could try that and see if that works. Any questions on that? Okay. Laura, were there any more public comments?
No, Mayor Osterbach, none have come in. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So with that, our next meeting date will be October 19th. So, if there's nothing else, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Warren.
Okay.